just going to... Can I say, just in starting, I'm on a bit of a high at the moment, and do you know why? It's because Karis told us to fold this thing, and I did it right. And I think it's the first time in my life that I've ever done a crafty kind of thing right. So I feel personally really, really chuffed with myself right now. Lovely to be here anyway, as always. Well, I say as always, I don't very often get to come to this service, but it is lovely to be here, get to know some of you a bit better. We're going to think here today in a minute. Catherine's going to read for us in a minute. But we're going to take here today about what must have been a very difficult time for Jesus, in Jesus' life. And it's Lent. It's a time where we look upwards to God, but we do look inwards as well. We're going to hear about Jesus' time in the wilderness. And before we hear the story of Jesus, and I'm going to say something about that, I just want you to spend a few moments thinking back over a tough time that you've had in your life. And then have a think about what got you through. Just spend a minute thinking about that. A tough time in your life, and think something about what got you through. And I wonder how that was, and particularly if someone perhaps for whom now is that tough time, and if that's so, I hope that what we're going to think about today will be helpful for you. So Catherine, I think, is going to come and read from Mark's... Yeah, come on up. From Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news."
Okay. So we've heard a little bit there about Jesus' baptism. We've heard about his time in the wilderness. And we heard something as well about what he said and did after that time in the wilderness. And I'm just going to try and break today down in those bits. So Jesus' baptism, his time in the wilderness, and what he said and did after, and relate that to our own situations. So firstly, Jesus' baptism. It's really quite a short account in Mark's Gospel, focuses on the heavens opening, the Spirit coming down in the form of the dove, and then the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I wonder, those of you who are baptized, I'm not assuming everyone is baptized, I have a little think about any people say where and when they were baptized. Anyone want to say? At the back in the font there, Pam, fantastic. Where? Anyone else?
I was 16.
When you were 16? And where were you?
In London.
In London. Something good can come out of London. Well, in you. Emily, where were you? In St. James. That was about 2 weeks ago. So I think Emily was very recently baptized. So that was fantastic. Anyone else? Ness?
Somewhere in the ocean in New Jersey.
Jim, where?
Probably the one that I don't remember, but Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. So where's the furthest away? I'm trying to think.
California.
So which is further though, California or... I guess there's a couple of folks from India here, aren't there? So I reckon I'm trying to work out. Well, so anyway, you can Google it after the service, which is further away, California or India. My money's on California, actually. But any chance we get, I like people to think about their own baptism, because it's the start of journey of faith for all of us, no matter how it actually starts. You know, whether you come and it's your own decision as an older child like Emily or as an adult, or whether it's something, you know, your parents brought you in faith and love to dedicate you to God and say prayers for you, which however it happens, it's important. And it's important that we just sort of reaffirm our own commitment to follow Christ all the time. And I think every church service in a way does that. We have that time of confession like we had at the start there, which just enables us to think about rededicating ourselves to God and following in his ways. And it helps us to think about that. And then as we go through the service, usually it's sort of as we go out, we're kind of pledging ourselves anew to follow in Jesus' ways. But there's something I want you to hear and think about the baptism story that we've heard. Jesus hears God's voice declaring him to be his beloved son in whom he's well pleased. And this is so important because of an enormous truth. Okay? As believers we are, as scripture repeatedly tells us, in Christ. If you read ever through Paul's letters in the Bible, he uses that little phrase all the time, in Christ, to refer to us. And the meaning of it is this, that God the Father sees all of us in the same way as he sees Jesus. Let me say about this. We're united with Jesus in faith. We are in Christ. So is Jesus his beloved son? Well, yes. So are we, because we're united with Jesus in that way. Is Jesus holy? Yes. And so are we in God's sight, because Jesus is. He gives that benefit of his holiness to us. Jesus is spiritually alive, so are we, and so on. Is Jesus eternally his? Yes, and so are we. Through faith, we're united with Jesus. And so our identity, as God sees us, is that of God's beloved child, holy and alive. And especially if you've got the sort of mindset that tends to talk yourself down, to think negatively of yourself, remind yourself of this day in, day out. Just get it into your head enough so that it slowly takes that sort of foot-long journey down into your heart as well. You are God's beloved child. And just take a moment and think about your own baptism, as we did a moment ago. And just imagine as you're kind of coming up out of the water, or as your hair is being dried off, or whatever it was. Just imagine the voice of God ringing in your ears. You are my beloved child, and you I am well pleased. Because that are the words that God has spoken over your life, and he will never ever take that back. It is eternally part of your identity in Jesus Christ. Not because of anything we do, nor whatever we don't do, but simply because we are God's children. We are God's children. And you need to hear that voice in your heart, because just like what happens to Jesus next, the life in the world can be very, very difficult. Sometimes it can feel a bit like a desert, maybe with or without the wild beasts. But the same spirit that came on Jesus like a dove sends him out into the wilderness. Now, granted, the desert... The desert of Swansea, how can we say it? The wettest desert in the world is a little different to Judea in AD 30. But there are some things in common. The life in the world out there can indeed be isolating. It can engender fear. It can be a place, certainly, which has temptations. It can be a place where at times we're on our own in our faith, which is difficult. And for some, of course, desert time is a time dealing with ill health and things around that. And our faith is tested in such wilderness experiences. Listen to something that's always struck me as kind of strange. It's always hit me from that story. Mark's gospel says the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Now, partly for Jesus, this is because his life and ministry is identified with Israel's journey. So his 40 days in the desert mirrors their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The very big difference is that he stayed obedient, didn't give in to the temptation. And so where Israel failed, Jesus succeeded. And the Spirit, yes, had to drive him there for this to happen. But we can make this personal for us too, because God does allow us to go through these wilderness experiences. He doesn't simply protect and deliver us from them straight away. And yes, such experiences do impact our faith. And at such times we can be faced with temptations. We may be faced with the temptation to give up on church, which is a bad idea because you need the fellowship of your brothers and sisters in Christ more than ever at such times. You can have a temptation to give up on faith. You perhaps doubt God's power or will to change the situation. You may be deeply unhappy that he's let this difficult time happen to you. I've certainly been there. I remember for a lot of my 20s, I was very much there, struggling with individual and family circumstances and my faith struggling as a result. And when you're in that place, when you're in the wilderness, it's easy to get it into your head that God is almost foe, not friend. But the reality is the opposite. Maybe he's allowed something to happen, but that core of his relationship with you is utterly unchanged. You remain his beloved child. And you need to keep that identity at the forefront of your mind. And I know that for me, that wilderness experience bore real long-term fruit. As faith matured and deepened. And those wilderness times are often what make us, what give us a hard-won faith perhaps, less of an easy faith. But it can be so critical in terms of a mature relationship with God. You need people around you in those experiences. What happened to Jesus in the desert? Angels came and ministered to him. Well, look around at each other, you angelic bunch of people that you are. The trick here is, if you know of someone else who's struggling and in that sort of time of wilderness, don't leave it to the angels. Actually, be the one who goes and makes a difference for someone else. So important. So we've had baptism, we've had something about temptation in Jesus' time in the wilderness. Just finally, the message that Jesus comes out of the wilderness saying, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Always remember, repent is part of the good news. That's the bit we don't like to hear, isn't it? We don't like to hear that we need to change. But that's part of the good news. There can be more to life. Your life can be better. It can be more loving. You can be closer to God. You can love others more. If we have the humility to look at ourselves, take a long, hard look sometimes, and that's what Lent is partly about, to enable us to take that long, hard look and think where we need to change and seek God's help and power to do it. Being closer to God is possible. Why would we settle for something that's less than that? And this power of God working in our lives is something we can freely proclaim, as Jesus did. I don't think necessarily by shouting it from the rooftops. I think it happens far more effectively simply shared in real, honest conversations, where we're honest about our experience of faith. We're honest about our experience of God's love, whatever that may be. I don't think people want a sort of pristine, manicured version of our faith. They want to kind of hear how it actually is for us. And I think when people share openly and honestly, that creates a deep connection with others. And it can create a deep connection with someone who recognizes that there's a gap in the center of their lives, a gap which only a relationship with the Creator God can fill. So think about this Lent. You could give up chocolate and finish it there. Or it could be a time when your faith comes alive, when you engage with God in a deeper way, even if you're in that wilderness experience. It can be a time when the fire in your heart starts burning strong again. It can be a time when you can be an angel to a couple of people who are struggling. And it's a time when you can connect with others. As you connect with others, you can gently talk of the beloved God who calls you his beloved child. In Jesus' name, amen.